السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, nothing happens in this world coincidental. Everything happens with the will, with the wish, with the desire of Allah Ta'ala. Everything that we see around us, there is a hidden hand behind that. We can see lots of things with our eyes happening, but we cannot see the hand of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala behind it, which is working. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, whatever He does, there's great wisdom in it. There is no such thing as Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala plays games. What kind of an Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will that be? What kind of an Allah, Almighty, Omnipresent, Omnipotent be if He has to play games? Like our children, they build sand castle. Another child comes, runs over the sand castle and destroys it. Or that child himself who built that sand castle, after a little while, he jumps over that sand castle, destroys it and says, I'm going to build another one bigger than that. Or then those children start fighting amongst themselves. That one says that I had a castle bigger than yours and you destroyed it. And that one says, you destroyed mine. And they play games. Now Allah Ta'ala is not playing games. When things happen in this world, it's not games. It's not for fun and pleasure. And also when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sends a kind of azab, then it is not for enjoyment and pleasure too. What pleasure and what enjoyment will Allah Ta'ala get in sending azab? So nothing is coincidental. A week before the disaster, I started discussing the 15 things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, that when people will indulge in it, then Allah Ta'ala will send His azab. And the next week was the disaster. And then we continued for the following, the week after that. And now we continue from there. So I've discussed those 15 very briefly. If you have to go into details, if the whole year we can continue. But we can see that all those actions and those deeds that Allah's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in that hadith sharif, music, wine, adultery, fornication, stealing, amanat considered as personal property, and so many other things. Some have been mentioned directly and some indirectly. But all the sins that we look around us, we will find them in that 15. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam warned the ummah that don't indulge in these things, because then Allah Ta'ala's azab will come. If fornication, adultery is going to become the scourge in a society, then we must await the azab of Allah Ta'ala. It will come. Whether we watch zina or we indulge in zina, whether we take interest or we give interest. In another hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the curse of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is on the person who is taking interest, giving interest, writing interest, witnessing interest. Now how can that person then, or that community, enjoy rahmat and blessings of Allah Ta'ala when there's going to be so much of interest taking and giving? One person showed me very recently a document where he is being charged interest by a Muslim family, Muslim person. And that Muslim person also is his very close family member. And he writes the 100,000 rand loan and profit 10% profit. So by changing the name of interest to profit, it doesn't make it profit. And if it is profit and you change and you call it interest, it doesn't make it interest. But here it is a clear cut thing that this person is charging interest. But now he says it is profit. And I think I mentioned in one of my majlis, another brother He came and showed me the documents, and then he says after that, that Maulana, look at this person. He's in the masjid. He's got a mashallah beard. He's making 5 times namaz. And he's charging me so much of interest. I was in a desperate situation. It's not that the person was just borrowing because he wanted to indulge in luxuries. He was desperately in need of a loan. So he says, I will give you the loan and I will charge you only 10%. And I don't think Allah Ta'ala can be displeased with me. Now these are his words. He says, I don't think Allah Ta'ala can be annoyed and displeased with me because you don't have that kind of muscle to go to the bank and get a loan. And even if you had to go, then they are going to charge you 15, 18, 20%. So here I am doing you a favor as a Muslim brother. And how can Allah Ta'ala be annoyed if somebody is doing a favor? Na'uzu billahi min zalik. You can see these are the things which are bringing the azab of Allah Ta'ala. Now when a nation, when thousands of people or the large percentage of the ummah begins to indulge in haram, then the azab of Allah Ta'ala is going to come. We cannot avoid it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever he's predicted, it is going to happen. In one of these, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, the person who takes bribe and the person who gives bribe, and also the person who is the in-between, all three people are cursed by Allah Ta'ala. Now due to bribes, how much of corruption is in this world? One is a person is doing injustice upon someone. It's zulm from the government side or some authority side or somewhere in the world. The person, injustice is being done to him. And he knows that he cannot get his way out unless he gives that person a bribe. So then it will be permissible to give that bribe, but it will be not permissible for that person to accept that bribe. Many a times in India and other places when you are traveling, now seats are available. Seats are available on that train, on that plane. But when you go to the counter and you say that I want a ticket from here to there, they say no seat available. But then somebody else will come and say, 100 rupiah de do, abhi ho jayega. Chai pani ka kuch de do. They want something for tea. And the moment you give that person the 100 rupees, then suddenly he has found a seat for you. So the seats were available. Now if this person has to give that 100 rupees because without that he is not going to get a seat, which is available, so then it's permissible for him to give it, but not permissible for that person to accept it. But in many cases, there's no seat available. Now, just because we have got some contact with Mr. Contact, so we want to approach that Mr. Contact and we tell him that, look, seats are not available, but you've got contact with higher authorities. So therefore, I will give you so much, try and get me a seat. So what he does, he pulls out some poor old woman or some child or somebody else who doesn't have much voice, and he takes that seat and gives it to someone. How much of this happens during Hajj season and Hajj time? And yet the people are going for Hajj, and the agents are unconcerned. Again, we have some very good agents. And some agents are those who I always say that they make 5-star promises, but they speak 6-star lies. Then the Hajis give them 7-star curses. And where they give them those curses in Arafat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is warning that this bribe taking, bribe giving, Allah Ta'ala's curse is upon them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, when a community is going to indulge, when my ummah will indulge in adultery and in the taking of interest, then they must prepare themselves for the azab of Allah Ta'ala. So the azab which has come, nobody can call this something that was not expected. The person who has got sight, the person who has got basirat, the person who has read hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Quranic verses, so then he will understand that it is nothing but azab. But as I mentioned last week also, the week before that, that there are two situations. One is before the azab comes, then at that time we are going to warn the people that don't indulge in these things, otherwise the azab and the punishment and retribution from Allah will come. But once it has come and people have suffered loss, and there's damage to property and damage to life, and people have been left homeless and they've got no food and no clothing and no shelter, then we must not look at what sins they were indulging in before the azab came. Because the good, the bad, the pious, the righteous, and the sinful and the evil ones, all can get caught up in the azab. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was once asked by the sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'een, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will destroy by means of earthquakes. Earthquakes will shake the people. Allah Ta'ala will send gale force winds. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will send flood waters. Allah Ta'ala will send down hailstones or rain stones upon the people. Different kinds of azab Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned. So the Sahaba's question, Ya Rasulullah, will the azab come upon us when there are good and pious people amongst us? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, yes, it will come when sins are on the increase. Large number of people are sinning and a few people are doing some ibadah, zikr, tilawat. So Allah Ta'ala will reward those who are pious, righteous. He will forgive their sins. Allah Ta'ala will increase their stages. But when that azab will come, they all will get caught in it. Here and there, Allah Ta'ala will save some masajid for us to see. That see, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, how He saved the masajid. So many masajid, so many masjids have been left intact. Nothing happened to them. Animals untouched in certain zoos. And so many babies survived. So many other so-called miracles happened. So Allah Ta'ala, whomsoever He wishes to save, He will save. But generally it will engulf everybody. In the Bani Israel, the Sufyan Sauri Rahmatullahi, if I'm not mistaken, Hazrat Sufyan Sauri Rahmatullahi was mentioned this. He says that 7 years there was drought. 7 years. And the time came when the people started eating dead animals. Flesh of dead animals. As soon as the animal is to die, they used to eat that. Then it became even worse, where they had to cut the bodies of people who died and eat up the flesh of that dead bodies. So severe. And who is making dua? Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He is making dua. But dua is not being accepted. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala informs the Nabi of the time, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they tell these people that even if they raise their hands and the hands touch the skies, if they have to raise their hands in dua and the hands touch the skies, and even if their mouths have to dry up, their mouths have to dry up, so much of dua they are making. No matter how much of ibadat and duas they may make, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, I will not remove the drought until they do not remove the injustices which are prevailing amongst them. Injustice, zulm. And zulm is not only from the government level. Many a times I have mentioned that. We always talk about government level zulm and injustice. But the amount of injustice that we are doing in our own homes. Has it tripped? Must I check it up? Go downstairs and check that. Put the fans on at the back there too. The injustices that we do upon our neighbors, upon our family members, our children, our wives, our clients, our customers, our staff. And so many times I have mentioned this, that people will give hundreds of thousands for charities. Outside one masjid in the Transvaal just last week, almost R1 million was collected for the disaster fund. And thereafter, what happens? Ask those people who are working in those business houses. What do they say? That my boss, he will give hundreds of thousands when it comes to charities. Millions they will give for the construction of masajid and madrasas and for tabligh and for khanqas and for all other dini activities. They will spend millions. But when it comes to their staff, they are not going to even ask them that how many children you have, what are your expenses, the salary which I give you, do you manage living on that salary? The rentals have increased. Light water accounts have increased. We are not talking about those who are spending their money on television and cinemas and discos and movies and video hires. We are talking about those people who are just living on basic salary and they make ends meet. They are just barely able to afford purchasing even necessary amount of food for the children. And here the manager or the boss or the owner of such business, when somebody comes for collection, and especially the bigger the Maulana, the bigger the donation. Because he's got to tell that Maulana, see what a big heart I have got. Big, big donations. And I mention this because Alhamdulillah, inshallah, and may Allah Ta'ala keep it that way, that you won't see me in any shop with any collection book or donation book. So therefore I can speak. Neither for my madrasa nor for this masjid or anyway. If there is a need for collection, I will say it from this mimbar. that there is a need for donation, collection for certain project, open your hearts and give. So whosoever wants to give will give. But I will not put direct or indirect pressure upon any person. So now they are giving hundreds of thousands of rands for this type of charities. And those people are cursing them. Now how can we expect peace and happiness in that person's life when he is making those laborers work, making them sweat, and thereafter the miserable wages that he gives? Yes, if that business house is not giving such kind of charities, and that business house is also running on wooden wheels, they are just about making it. They just make a sufficient profit to pay up their own expenses. Then we will say that that is a favor that that person is doing, that at least is giving employment to somebody, even though it may be at a lesser wage. Because many people, even if they get at least that 2,000 rand, it is something that they are getting. And now this business house cannot afford to give more than that because they themselves don't have that kind of funds. So we are not saying that it's a general rule, but I'm talking about those who are giving hundreds of thousands and in charities and donations. Your charity begins in your own home. Look at your staff, look at your laborers, look at your maids. They will economize. What is the minimum wage that the government says we must give? Minimum wage. But we are not going to share anything that Allah Ta'ala has given. How many times I have tried to explain to my friends that if we are going to share from that which is already in our home, and it will not cost us anything to give a little bit of that to our maids or to our servants or to our staff. We've already got it in our home. Fruit has come, vegetable has come, meat has come, chicken have come. From there, we're not saying give wages 10,000 rand, 2,000 rand if you can't afford it, but with that wage that you are giving, now give a little bit of biscuits that have come. Those maids are emptying our booths when we come from the supermarkets, packets upon packets upon packets. Now those maids, we tell them, bring it out of the boot. Now they bring it out of the boot. Now they are seeing how much is coming into this home. And that man is giving that 600, 800 rand or 500 rand. And he says, no, I'm giving her the minimum wage that the government has told. So now that person is going to cast gazes on your food. Then we say that one got stomach ache and that child got headache and all kinds of problems. But if at the end of the day when that maid was going, if we took a little bit of bananas and some peaches and some plums, two, three, and we put it into a packet and say, take this for your children. What amount of happiness it will create in that. And it hasn't cost us anything. Just think that one extra child has eaten it in the home. So what is the purpose then? Indeed, there is a need for charities. There is a need for donations. But Allah Ta'ala didn't say that to cut the stomach of those who are working for you and give charities. These things sound very bitter. And that is what Islah is. That when it hurts our heart. If it doesn't hurt and we say everything, read this wazifa, you'll get a very pretty wife. Then that if I say read 10,000 times, that person will say, Maulana, I don't mind reading it 20,000 times, but as long as I get the pretty wife. So for Islah, this is what is required. That give charities, but look at your staff, look at the wages that we are giving. Again, I repeat that I'm not saying that those who cannot afford, then they too must somehow go into debts or borrow from the banks and give extra wages. I'm talking about those who are giving charities or who are using in useless places or in haram avenues. Then at such a time, that is what the person should be doing. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that this injustice, or Hazrat Sufyan Thawri said that injustice that was prevailing, so the Bani Israel was caught up in such kind of drought. And Allah Ta'ala said, even if their tongues have to dry up and their hands have to touch the skies, Allah Ta'ala will not send down the rain. On another occasion, which is a very famous incident, you may have heard it many, many times, as Musa alayhi salatu wasalam prayed and prayed 3 days for istisqa, for rain, but no rain came. Then Allah Ta'ala informed him that there's one person in the congregation who is a tail carrier, creates mischief, makes people fight, backbites, tells this person that tells the mother-in-law that this is what your daughter-in-law was talking about you, and tells the daughter-in-law that this is what your mother-in-law was talking behind your back, and tells the brother that this is what he was saying about you, and tells the father this is what your son was talking about you. Tries to create mischief and fitna and fasad. So he says, there's one person that is amongst your congregation who is indulging in this kind of sin, and because of that Allah Ta'ala is holding back the rain. One person in a whole congregation. So the Musa alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Oh Allah, inform me, who is that person so that I can tell him about it." Allah Ta'ala says, "I am stopping you from it, must I also give you the name of the same person now?" So he addressed the congregation and he told them, "This is what is happening in our congregation, there's one person who's doing this." So that person sincerely repented inside his heart, "Oh Allah, I make sincere tawbah from this sin that I'm indulging in," and rain started falling immediately. And then he asked Allah Ta'ala that now suddenly how did the rain come? He said that same person made tawbah and the rain came. So there's a connection between our a'mal, our actions, and the decisions that are made by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So when the azab of Allah Ta'ala has already come, then it becomes our duty to assist and help. But we must take lessons that it is indeed for no other reason but our sins. Some people, the pious, the righteous, the few exceptions, they will be there, that for them it is an elevation of their status. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions, they went through a lot of suffering, but that was not because of sins. That was to show their iman, to show their faith, how strong it was. Look at this disaster, they say it has shaken the faith of people around the globe. So many Christians and Jews, and so many people of other faith, they have lost their faith in the existence of Allah. That there is such an Allah who is compassionate, who is kind, who is loving. They said it's not true. If there was, then why so much of disaster? So you can see the disaster shook up their faith. And in the case of the Sahabas, disasters and tests and trials, it used to strengthen their faith that indeed whatever the Quran has said is the truth. And whatever Rasulullah has said is the truth. So for a Muslim, this disaster strengthens his iman. That look at the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in which he mentioned that when you are going to indulge in these type of sins, adultery, drinking, listening to music, watching, singing and dancing girls, and when you are going to consider amanat as some kind of war booty, and when you are going to consider zakat as fine, and when the people are going to do injustice, in other words, to their mothers and to their fathers, or to whomsoever, in the fulfillment of the rights of the parents, they will do injustice to the wife. Or in the fulfillment of the rights of the wife, they will be unjust to their parents. When those people will be appointed who will be the most miserable people, they will be appointed leaders, the most sinful ones. And all the other things that have been mentioned. Noises in the masajid. People will be respected just because of their strength and power. So at that time he was away to all these kind of azab. So this strengthens the iman of the Muslim that look, those places, how many hotels were crowded with tourists. There must have been just a handful of them that were there who were making use of those tourist spots to look at the qudrat, to look at the nature, to look at the beautiful scenery, to look at the beautiful gardens and then get more contact with Allah Ta'ala. There must be a handful of them. Otherwise the majority of them, what else were they doing there except watching the filth on the television, singing, watching and looking at singing and dancing girls, listening to music, or indulging in adultery and fornication. And they say the number of brothels and the number of prostitutes that used to flock there because of the tourists was unreal. Unreal. So it strengthens the faith of the mu'min that whatever my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, it is the truth and nothing but the truth. So if we are going to lose our faith and trust in Allah Ta'ala, where are we going to go? Do we have another Allah to turn towards? Many people say, now I've lost my faith in Allah Ta'ala. Well, if you lost it, then go somewhere else now. Where will you go? That person too, when he is drowning in the tsunamis, in the tidal wave, that person who says, I've lost my faith in Allah, go and listen carefully to what he is saying when he is drowning. Oh my Lord, please come to my help. He too is shouting for his Lord at that time, whoever that Lord is. But nobody will come to his assistance because an azab of Allah Ta'ala. So my respected brothers, we are also living in the coastal areas. The beachfront during the holiday season, we all know what happens there. And therefore I'm repeatedly mentioning this, that I'm not saying it is haram, and especially those people who are living in that area. How can we say that it's not jais or haram to live there and stay there? You can keep your flats there, you can keep your homes there, nobody is stopping. But purposely don't venture out onto those areas where there's nothing but nudity, obscenity, shamelessness, behayai, immodesty. Purposely don't go and look at whatever they are doing there on that sea sand, whether it's volleyball or whether it's any other kind of games that those naked women are playing. Don't try to fool Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because we will not be able to fool Allah ta'ala. Sometimes the person is sitting in good company because he's gone with good company. And he pretends that he is not looking there, he is looking at the waters of the ocean. But in the meantime, he's staring at all that haram there. Allah ta'ala knows what thoughts are going on in the person's mind and where his eyes are. And Allah ta'ala can send the tidal wave and drown everybody. We have seen what has happened. So let us not play with the might and the force of Allah ta'ala. But make use of the ni'mats. Allah ta'ala has created so much of halal for us to keep us happy, to keep us, keep our hearts happy. There's so much of halal. Then why go towards that haram and invite the wrath of Allah ta'ala? Enjoy the ni'mats of Allah, increase your shukr, and Allah ta'ala will give you more. But let us not go towards haram, because you will have temporary pleasure. But after a little while, Allah ta'ala will pull the carpet from beneath the feet, and that person will meet his doom. May Allah ta'ala bless me, bless you, and bless the entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with the tawfiq of amal. Amal se banti hai zindagi, ye jannat bhi, jahannam bhi, ye khaki apni fitrat mein na noori hai, na nari hai. We can go on giving speeches till doomsday, but it is only with actions that things will change. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq to get into action. Musalmano utho bahre amal tayyar ho jao, nahi ab ye waqt ghaflat ka bedar ho jao. O Muslim, get up! Far too long have you slept. It is no more time to be in slumber and sleep. Get up and get into action. May Allah ta'ala bless us with the best of dunya akhirat. May Allah remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems of the entire mankind. Wherever there's suffering of any kind, may Allah ta'ala remove the suffering. That's all we can do. Make dua and assist and help financially or in whichever way we can for those who have been stricken in the disaster.